Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mooning. You all right? Hope you are. Sincerely and genuinely hope you are. Did you have a nice weekend? Good. Me, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah. Had a lovely weekend, thanks. Yeah. It is now Monday. Another day, another dollar. Another week, another dollar. That's not a saying, is it? Right. It's already just ticked past 8 in the a.m. British summertime on Monday, the 24th of August, in the year of our Lord 2026. You guys know who you are. You're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Impeccable taste. Turning up for the Bo's Breakfast Club. Don't you forget about me. Breakfast with Bo. The Lotus Eaters Breakfast Club. Hashtag the real LBC. Best people on earth, basically. I am joined by my producer, Little Harry. No, it's not Little Harry this morning. It is Thomas. Little Harry's away. How are you this morning, Thomas?
Very well. How are you, Bo?
Good, yeah. No, all good, thanks. Yeah, all good. All right, that's plenty of faffing around, isn't it? Far too much fannying around for a Monday morning. Let's just get straight into it. What have we got? What's the legacy corporate lamestream media banging on about this morning? What are they trying to tell us is or isn't important? What are they lying to us about by omission, if by nothing else? What's that cabal of evil, quite frankly, evil Fleet Street editors trying to slap us in the face with today? We've got pain beyond words. That's a story of two cops that were killed by some five joyriding teens in Middlesbrough. I think it's Middlesbrough. Everyone died. I say the two cops died. Everyone died. Seven people dead in that. And graduates face worst job market. Yeah, probably. Yeah. So what happens if you flood a country with millions of new people? A small island. You flood a small island of a few tens of millions of people and you keep whacking millions more in. Yeah. It affects the job market. For those that would struggle to get a job in the first place, i.e. those without a great CV and young people just starting out, yeah, it's going to be tougher for them. It's a zero-sum game, isn't it? Jobs. The job market. Yeah, if you flood it. More safe and legal routes, if anything, though. That's what they say, don't they? If you talk to any globalist, any leftist, any traitor, try and talk about, not even remigration, just talk about having a cap on it. Could we have a cap? Even a really high cap? Give us a number, any number. You psychos. Even tens and tens of thousands, 100,000 a year, can we have a cap on 100,000? No. Can't do that. That's racist. That would be un-British to talk in such a fashion. More safe and legal routes, if anything. Oh, well, don't complain then when young people can't get jobs. It's the worst job market ever. Yeah. All right, well, let's get into it. The Times, the venerable Times. Meghan's gangster series leaked to suggest she was in demand. Don't care. Don't care about Meghan. Don't talk to me about Meghan. Not interested. Right, this is the story then. Look, these are the two cops. So when I first saw this story, I thought it was to do with a very similar incident that happened in Ireland last week, where some joyriders, it's an odd way of putting it, joyriders were driving down the wrong side of a dual carriageway or a motorway and had a collision and everyone died. I think that was a car of five youngsters in it, young men, boys. I think in this one, two of them were under 18. Anyway. There was one in Ireland, wasn't there? Like Kilkenny or somewhere. I don't know where it was. And I thought it was this. I thought it was a continuation of that story. No. It's a completely separate incident. This one's in the Midlands, in England this time. One thing I heard on the news this morning, don't know if it's true, it's just one data point I heard just like an hour ago, so take it or leave it, but they're saying apparently on TikTok, is some sort of trend or something. It's sort of promoted on TikTok in some way or other to drive down the wrong side of the road. Are you trying to flee police? Why not consider driving the wrong way down a road? Or dual carriageway, motorway even. Don't know if that's true. I'm not on TikTok, so I don't know. I just heard that, so. If that's true, like, does TikTok do anything other than put people in danger? Thomas, are you on TikTok? Do you have a TikTok?
I do not.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Because sometimes I go to Little Harry for, like, a Zoom mistake. But you're not a Zoomer, are you? You're in your late 20s. So, sorry, how old are you exactly? I've forgotten.
I'm an old man, Bo.
Did you turn 30 yet?
I'm 32.
Oh, are you? I'm sorry. I think of you as more like 28 or so. You're 32. Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough. Firmly not a Zoomer. Although I don't even know the technical when the Zoomer starts and ends. But what do you call yourself? What generation do you call yourself?
Millennial.
Millennial. Okay. All right. I'm a millennial too, technically. I'm sort of the oldest it's possible for a millennial to be, literally like the last year or so. But I think of myself as Gen X, completely and utterly Gen X. Okay, we're both millennials. I'm still young. We're both millennials. Don't worry about the exact years. We're both millennials. Okay. Oh, I'm laughing now. What's this? Back to this horrible story. Okay. It seems like in Middlesbrough, there was this car full of joyriders, young men. We've got some pictures of them somewhere. They've been named and shamed, been shown who they are. Look, these five. I think this one was the driver, I'm not sure. Yeah, they were speeding through like residential areas, trying to get away from police. And then went on like the A6, an A road, dual carriageway, I believe, is it? And the police at that point called off their chase. They've been chased by a couple of cop cars. Police called off the chase. The reason why I'm spending so long on this is because it's one of the main stories in the news cycle this morning. The police called off the chase, but just moments later, I think just seconds later, because the police made the calculation, this is far too dangerous. Okay, they've called our bluff on doing insanely dangerous things. So they called off the chase, but there was a cop car just coming the other way, driving the right way down the motorway. They had a head-on clash, everyone's dead. All seven of these people killed. Now, one thing I would say. Have you ever been in a car when the person behind the wheel is doing something stupid and crazy and something you would never dream of doing? But you're in the car now. You're along for the ride. You've got no control. You could be saying to them, stop doing this. Please stop doing this. Are you mental? But they're doing whatever they're going to do anyway. So like the passengers, you know, God knows what they were all saying to each other and egging each other on. I don't know. And no one knows what I would have thought, but. Because the driver's just one, if this one is the driver, it's the driver. What a crazy SOB. Is it in bad taste to call him an SOB so soon? Or is that not strong enough because he basically got all seven of these people killed? Well, the Mail says that, the headline says, teen joyrider killed in A66 police car crash was awaiting trial for racially abusing and assaulting officers. It's revealed. As grieving widow of cop who died in carnage says, the pain of losing him is beyond words. One of these is like an Iraq war veteran, that one, I think, I believe. Just. What can you do? What can you say? Crazy, crazy, stupid, stupid. Then sometimes young men. I mean, I was a young man once, many moons ago. Very lucky, really, in hindsight, once or twice, to get away unscathed with just a ridiculously stupid decision. I never did that. I never did anything close to that. But, you know, young men. Full of testosterone and not enough experience. Just doing crazy stuff. Every now and again, it ends in tears. What can we say? All right, well, that is a lot of the front pages and all in the news cycle today, so we've covered it now. There you go. Just a horrible, ridiculous incident which need not have happened. All right, Andy Bumham, King of the North, to gift Ukraine blueprints for missiles. Well done. Well done, Bumham. Yeah, I'm sure you came to that decision all on your own. Yeah, I'm sure your strings aren't being pulled by someone or something else. Andy Burnham, not really known for being super sharp on foreign policy, being a foreign policy wonk in any way, having any sort of grand view about global politics, nothing like that. But he's decided on this strategy. So what it is, they're actually French missiles, but there's UK components to these missiles, like effectively like cruise missiles, I think it is. Something on that scale. Effectively like French-made cruise missiles, and some of the components are made by Britain. And the story is something like, apologies if I get any of these details ever so slightly wrong. I don't think I have, but apologies if I do. Some of the components, not only are we just going to give them the components, we're going to give them, like, if, as it says there, the blueprints, we're going to give them the ability to make it themselves. Huh. Right. Okay. They seem hell-bent, don't they? On goading Russia into attacking us or something. Someone on Twitter on Friday sent me a link. It was some link, and it said, and the link was about a news story that said, there's a factory, or at least one factory, in Swindon, in Wiltshire, where I'm sitting right now, that builds, it's a nervous laugh, that is, there's a drone factory in Swindon, which Russia have got their eye on. And Iran, actually. But Russia are like, if we were, they almost certainly won't. But who knows? If they were to send over some Russian cruise missiles, I imagine, something like that, to blow up any of our infrastructure, that would be one of the places that would be like right top of their list. Right at the top of their list. I mean, I don't work there or anywhere near it, so unless they drop the big one on Old Town in Swindon, I'm sure I'll be fine. But nonetheless, a little bit worrying. RAF Fairford's not very far from where we sit. Imagine if the Russians dropped a Tsar bomber on Old Town. Yeah, I'd be in trouble then. They don't make Tsar bombers anymore. Don't worry about it. That was a one-time thing, really, basically. Still, okay. King Bumham, no Sternum Burnham, is to gift Ukraine blueprints. So also, the other thing in the news is he's gone on his first foreign visit, Bumham. Ukraine. Bumham to hand long-range missile blueprints to one of the most corrupt leaders, if not the most corrupt leader in the whole world, Volodymyr Zelensky. The weird hand-picked globalist shill, Volodymyr Zelensky. Well, just because I have a pop at him doesn't mean I'm pro-Russian. I keep saying it, don't I? Putin is a gangster and a killer. I just don't believe he's got designs on, like, Belarus and Poland and Finland and East Germany. That's an old Cold War fear. He can barely take the Donbass, can he? But we need to stop him. We need to stop him, otherwise he's going to roll into Minsk. Putin's tank divisions are going to roll into Warsaw. Are they? Therefore, we just need to keep helping Ukrainians and Russians blow each other to bits. Do we? What's it got to do with us at all? At all. Assuming you don't believe that narrative. That Mr. Putin basically wants to invade Eastern Europe. If you don't believe that, then what has any of it got to do with Britain at all? Nothing, is it? Nothing. Nothing. This little goblin freak. People calling for him to have an election because he hasn't had elections in a long, long time, has he? Long, long time. People say, well, it's wartime. You don't have elections in wartime. You do. You know. Sometimes you don't, of course. Like during World War II, Winston Churchill didn't have any. If it's like a total war, a world war. Other than that, quite often there's elections during wars. Very often. Abraham Lincoln, the Illinois rail splitter, Honest Abe. He had elections in the middle of the American Civil War. That was a pretty brutal war, wasn't it? The argument that whilst Russia's still firing things into Ukraine, while there's still Russian troops in the Donbass, Zelensky just simply can't have elections. No, I don't really believe that. He can. If he wanted to, he could. I think physically, logistically stopping him from doing it, but he doesn't want to, does he? Because he's the hand-picked puppet of other forces, isn't he? Remember who he was before he became president of Ukraine? Remember who he was, what he did? Just some TV comedian dude. Doing silly skits on TV. Subversive weirdo skits, actually. Oh, now he's the president. Oh, suddenly he's the president. And there's no more elections anymore. Okay. I see. And he's our Bezzy mate, is he? We have to stand shoulder to shoulder with him and give him billions of pounds of our money that that can't afford. And risk our security for him, for that, for the Donbass. It's mental. It's mental. In Bose Britain, I'd immediately reverse all of that. It's not that I would make an entente with the Kremlin. I'd just say, look, that's your war. That's your war. You get on with it, if you must. It's got nothing to do with us. Not a penny more to Kiev. Not one tiny bit more of war material. Not one more penny. You go and do you if you insist on that crazy thing. Nothing to do with us. All right, but we're giving them blueprints so they can build their own cruise missiles. Great, great. All right, the Metro. Ugh. Gross. Gross, makes me feel sick. Makes me want to puke. The Metro. Okay, again, there you go. They go this story, so that's why I gave it a few minutes to begin with. We've done it now, haven't we? But Joyride 5 and cops killed in 4 a.m. crash. Right. Oh, a little bit of football. I know you hate sports ball. But the Premier League has started again. We had the Charity Shield the other day, didn't we? And now we've had the first game. Our finger Haaland there. Man City. Yep, you don't care. Okay, fair enough. All right. I get it. We'll move on. The Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph, which is now German-owned, ultra-Zionist, anti-nativist, anti-British. Okay. Again, same, the cop. Prostate screening limited to just 1,500 men, so hardly any. It's like one of the most common cancers, isn't it, in men? Cut the screening to that. Got to make sure all our invaders have dentists and things, though, don't we? There's a finite amount of resources in the NHS and we need to make sure that all the barbarians that are invading us, if they have kids, that they get maternity cover. They all need dentists, don't they? So we'll cut prostate screening. Cancer or prostate. Right. It's like letting violent criminals out of prison instead of building another prison. It's like, could you have come up with a policy solution more dangerous for the average innocent person? Not really. Here we go. Graduates face worst job market on record. Yeah, because you flooded the country with millions of people. Millions of unskilled people. Yeah. Open borders, lefty types. They think it's the British thing to do to flood our country with anyone from anywhere, endlessly, no cap, no limit. Just cram in as many foreign people, unscreened foreign people, as you possibly can. Berate anyone that has any questions about that, and you still want there to be sort of a working jobs market, a working NHS. You want school sizes not to be insanely large. No, you can't have all those things. You want the welfare state, the welfare system, not to explode in size and bankrupt us. No, you can't have all those things. Britain's not an overflow car park for the human detritus of the world. And if you treat it as such, everything stops working. Because we're a relatively small island, already very, very population density, already very, very high. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's pretty straightforward stuff. Yeah, loads of people will still say more safe and legal routes. When I say loads of people, even the government, our government. It would suck real bad to be a young person now, either just leaving school or just leaving uni and trying to get a job. It'd be horrible. No wonder they feel betrayed by the older generations. No wonder. Well, they have been. Not that they just feel it. Like, it's irrational of them to feel this thing. They've got it wrong, really. It's not. That's not really what happened. That's exactly what happened. Yeah, they've been betrayed. Been betrayed by our elites. We all have, of course. It was hard enough in, like, the early 2000s, when I finished uni in, like, the year 2000 or 2001. No, sorry, 2003, whatever it was. I can't remember. Anyway, early 2000s. It was hard enough then. Now, when I had a half-decent degree from a reasonably good uni. I don't blame my trumpet too much, but right. So, and then it was really hard. I still needed a little bit of nepotism. I still needed a mate, really, to essentially vouch for me, get me in somewhere to get the to start the thread on your CV, and then you're going, and then you should be all right as long as you don't drop the ball and you don't do anything crazy. It's that first teasing out that first thread of getting a half decent job, so there's something on your CV, and you can the ball starts rolling and you can go on from there. That first bit is the hardest bit by a long way. As is the way in all sorts of things in life, isn't it? Like if you want to start a YouTube channel, the hardest bit is getting the first 3,000 subs. It's always the hardest thing to get something off the ground from scratch. So now, if you haven't got a degree at all, or even if you do have a degree, but it's in something like a bit silly. Like tourism studies, like some nothing polytechnic. It's only been a polytechnic for like 15 years. It's not really worth it. Employers see that on the CV and they're like, no, you know. And there's dozens, hundreds of people maybe applying for that same very mediocre entry level job. Horrible, horrible situation. I can only empathise. There's nothing I can do or say really. Of course, I can only empathise. The fix-it button, though, is, isn't it, to deport millions of people who shouldn't be here. If it means millions must go, then millions must go. Burnham gives secret shadow blueprint, secret storm shadow blueprint to Ukraine. That's the name, storm shadow is the name of that missile. Great. All right. The Guardian. Ugh. Thomas, the Steenkamp won. Cut to the Guardian. Okay. The Guardian. Something about Russ Abbott. You can tell, I said it before, you can tell when they're boomers, aren't they? The people that run these papers. That they reference something from the 70s or whatever. They'll do some pun that would only make sense if you were in your 40s or older. Young people just no way of understanding that reference. Whatever. Russ Abbott. Do you remember Russ Abbott, Thomas? 32-year-old Thomas, do you remember?
It's before my time.
Right, there you go. Dude in his 30s. No, that's before my time. It was when I was a little kid, Russ Abbott was on TV. He's just a comedian. It's all it is. In one is foreign or not old enough. It's just a TV comedian from decades and decades and decades ago. I haven't heard from Russ Abbott in donkey's years. Russ Abbott. Okay, The Guardian. Okay. All right. Then we talk about Kenny Everett next. Then we're talking about Cannon and Ball. The Guardian. All right. Britain will help Ukraine make its own long-range missile, says PM. All right, we got it. There's a picture of a nice seaside. Where is it? Down in St. Ives. It was a lovely day or at the weekend, or both days on the weekend, but not as hot as it was, so it's lovely. So the Guardian's happy. It's not too hot that it's turning the grass yellow. And it's not cold and rainy. So it's all good. So we're all good. Let's just pause the climate there. Can we pause the Earth's climate? That's what they would want. These climate activists, it's effectively what they want. If you said to them, you're not just like a king or an emperor, you're God. What would you do with the climate, with the Earth's climate? And so they'd make it just about right and then pause it there. No more climate change. Right, the simplicity in the idea of climate change. The ideal solution would be to pause it. It's not going to pause. The Earth's climate has always been and will always be in flux. So it's a matter, if you're looking for like a perma bogeyman, a permanent crisis type thing. It's a brilliant one, isn't it? If you're doing that, if you're cynical enough and mad enough to want to do that, let's find a truly, truly endless crisis. The fact that the Earth's climate is in flux. How about that one? Yeah, that's a good one. If that's what you're doing. We want climate to remain exactly as it was in like the first half of the 20th century or something. We will have far more hotter temperatures and far more and ice ages to come. I mean, we're in an interglacial period of an ice age right now. Aren't we? You speak to actual geologists and things. Yeah. We're essentially in an ice age, but an interglacial period within a longer, wider ice age. So you can expect the trend. Maybe it won't, well, not maybe. It is getting a little bit hotter as a general rule across the planet. But in a few thousand years, we'll have another period of glaciation. You'll realise we're in some sort of ice age. The idea that we need to worry about a runaway greenhouse effect, where all the ice caps will melt and sea levels will rise, largely destroy civilization, which is largely based around coastlines and rivers. No, that's nonsense. The next massive change in the climate that can actually threaten human civilization will almost certainly be a period of glaciation. All right. Two boys, 17, among the seven dead in the A66 collision. Best not to get in a car with someone that's a bit of a nutter. That, you know, as I say earlier, have you ever been in a car like that when something happens and you're like, oh no, I'm in a car and the person behind the wheel is an irrational nutter, dude. Oh dear. Yeah, I made a decision long ago to, well, it happened to me once or twice. Nothing massive, like running from cops and driving the wrong way down a dual carriageway or anything like that, but still. It's like, just get in, I'll give you a lift back. Nah. Thanks, cheers, I'll find another way. Don't have to tell them, I just don't trust you. Don't have to say that to them. So that's all right, it's all right. Cheers for the offer of a lift. I'm all right though. But deep down in your heart, it's like, I don't trust you. I've seen you drive. I know who you are. I know what you are. I'm not getting in the car with you. Cheers. It's easier said than done, though, isn't it? If they're your mate or whatever. And it's 4 a.m. And you've already done... You're already done nefarious or criminal things. You're locked in. No Sternham Burnham, King Bumham of the North, open to cutting uni fees for EU students as bargaining chip for better Brexit deal. What better Brexit deal? What are you talking about? I can't read that because we're doing it ever so slightly different today because it's Thomas instead of Little Harry. That is too small for me to read there, just about. But anyway, I read it earlier and it was saying the part of Bumham's resetting things with the EU. Just trying to get closer and closer to the EU. Trying to tee up a situation where we could actually formally rejoin the EU. Says, yeah, well, exactly as that headline says. Cutting fees for EU students to help out unis. The subversive lefty unis. The university establishment, which has done nothing but pump out a generation of champagne socialists. Andy Bumham wants to help them out more. Of course he does. Flood us with more people, even if they are from the EU. Right. Isn't all our infrastructure breaking, going through the process of actually breaking to bits, but they'll cram in more. They'll just cram in more. Mad. All right, the Financial Times, the FT, marching on. Kiev rebuffs election calls. Yeah. Marchons, marchons, quand ça n'y pour. Right. That's France, I know that's France, not Ukraine, I know. March on. Look, this tiny little goblin man just sitting at the top of government in Ukraine, refusing to budge. Refusing to do anything other than continue the machinery of slaughter of his own people. Is that an unfair way to characterise it? It's just Mr. Putin's aggression needs to be stopped at every turn at all costs, for as long as it takes, no matter how much it costs, in money, materiel, and human lives. He must be stopped. Don't worry about all the aggression that happened before that invasion. Don't worry about the years of poking the Russian bear before Mr. Putin pulled the trigger on this thing. Don't worry about any of that. We don't talk about any of that, ever. Don't worry about all the subversion on assassinations and killings and injustices that happened to provoke Putin to invade the Donbass. Don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. That didn't happen. History started in, like, 2022 or whatever. All right. Don't talk about John McCain. The Mail. Mail Group. Pure subversive globalist slop. Wearing the skin suit of patriotism, nativism, sometimes. I know it's just a banner and not the headline. As Kate smiles through royal crisis, how two rival cults are already taking shape. Team Sussex versus Team Wales. It's Harry, his wife and his family, and Wills and his wife and his family, isn't it? You got to pick sides, Team Sussex and Team Wales. I don't care. You guys don't care. We did a poll, didn't we? You guys don't care. But I'm Team Wales, of course, simply because Kate Middleton is so radiant. I'm kind of being sarcastic, kind of not. She's beautiful, isn't she? She's so radiant. So the story, a little bit of the story is they went to church the other day. Well, it would have been yesterday, wouldn't it? The king and the queen and the Waleses, they all went to church. And through sort of long telephoto lenses, the paparazzi can capture them while they're in their cars. You know, you quite often get that. They're just driving out. And they go, and they get a picture of them in the car. And Kate was looking radiant and smiling. Everyone smiles. It's all smiles. They're all happy. Happy clappy. It does go to show, though, doesn't it, that, as if we didn't already know, that the papers, but they've got a particularly nice image of her, right? Because when you take footage of someone, or if you've just got one of those cameras that take loads and loads of frames, you just hold the button down, it's like, you get like a dozen pictures in 1 second or whatever. It's really easy if you want to pick out a still image, certainly if you've got footage, pick out a still image where someone's like mid-blink. They haven't pulled a weird, gurning face, but they're just moving their head slightly and they're blinking and you capture them like going, like that. And you can print that picture if you want to, right? Make them look bad, make them look ugly and silly. But no, they go with a picture where she looks very photogenic and really beautiful. Our Kate. So radiant. Okay. Children are, quote, not safe, quote, on the internet. Yeah, probably, yeah. Stark warning as head of Britain's FBI. Why'd they have to say that? Where's it not an FBI? What is it? It's the National Crime Agency. Kind of parallels with the FBI, but not really. Okay, the British FBI tells Mail there are now up to 900 reports of child abuse online every day. Yeah, that is worrying. It should just simply be, shouldn't it, that getting a phone that you can go on the internet on, or BlackBerry that you can go on the internet on, or being allowed to just have free access to the computer, the PC in the household, that's an adult thing. That should just be thought of as really an adult thing. Or if you want your kid, you think your kid's old enough and ready for it at 15, 16, 17, okay. But a small children, no, a small child, just don't let them have a phone at all. Well, one that you can go on the internet on anyway. Yeah, because the internet is filled with perverse and bizarre and disgusting things. Yeah. Yeah. Don't let little kids go on the internet at all. Yeah. I mean, shouldn't it be the parents' responsibility that? Okay, there's so much child abuse on the internet that they'll have to censor everything for everyone going forward for all time, I suppose. It's obviously the angle, isn't it? It's obviously the mission creep part of that, isn't it? The government's going to need to censor the internet because of child safety. But also, in the same breath, it'll be anything we don't like politically. Won't it? Won't it? Yeah. All right. That tea's dead. Move on to my backup water. It's watering that one, not another cup of tea. Right. The Sun. What have we got in The Sun? Sloppy Joe. They know how us kids like them nice and sloppy. Kate smiles on church trip. The exact same image. The exact same image. It's almost as though they're a cabal, isn't it? It's almost as though the senior editor ever got the final say on the final front page of the Mail and the Sun. This is almost as if they're in cahoots, isn't it? You might be forgiven for coming to that conclusion. We're all grin it together. Very clever wordplay as well. Razor sharp wordplay there. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you understand? Like, it's like we're all in it together. But they're saying we're all grin it together because she's grinning. And the Queen and Sausage Fingers are grinning. We're all grin it together. It's very, very clever, isn't it? Very, very clever. The Express, pure globalist slop. Again, trying to pretend it's patriotic or nativist in any way. It's not. Look, the exact same image. The exact same image. Delighted Kate is the princess of smiles, is she? Okay. Thanks, Express. Thanks, Express. I wonder what editorial decision-making, like decision tree, was used there to decide to use that particular image. Or was it a someone above you said, you're using this image today? We've decided this is the image you're going with. There you go. Right, this guy, it's not Bob Mortimer. This guy, just some random guy that's dying of motor neurons disease, says, let's talk about assisted dying. Express go with. Out of anything in the world, they could report on anything in the world. They've decided, after living with motor neurons disease for 12 years, that's what MND is, isn't it, I believe? For 12 years, Phil Newby, just some dude, he's not famous, I don't think, he's just some dude. Phil Newby makes a plea to the Prime Minister. Let's talk about assisted dying, Mr. Bumham, while I still can. We had the debate, didn't we? It went through Parliament and it lost, didn't it? I've talked about it before a number of times, haven't I? But got nuanced views about assisted dying myself. I think in some cases, many cases, it is sort of, I would even go as far as saying necessary. But the problem is, isn't it, can you trust doctors and the government to not sort of pervert that process very quickly? I mean, look at Canada and a few other places. It starts off, again, Operation Creep, right? It starts off someone that really, really should be allowed to end their own life early because they're facing nothing but horror and pain. And they've come to terms with it and they want to die. There's that. Very, very quickly, almost immediately, it's someone just says, I'm a bit depressed. And the doctor says, well, we can kill you if you want. We can just end it if you want. And the person's just in a bad space in their mind. They're young. They're in their 20s or whatever. And the doctor says, well, we could just end it if you want. You are white after all. And they're in a crazy headspace and they're like, yeah, okay. And that's it. That's the end of that. That's the end of that story. All sorts of problems with it, aren't there? All sorts of problems. Well, we already had the debate for ages, haven't we? For years. It finally did go to Parliament, what, last year? Or the beginning of this year? And it was defeated in Parliament, ultimately, wasn't it? Narrowly. Now they're pushing it again. Just pushing it again. Okay, the mirror. The mirror. Families, water safety plea. Again, they could go with anything. No more. Shattered loved one sends emotional letter to Prime Minister after summer of needless tragedy. And it's the story of, which is definitely tragic. I'm not going to be sarcastic about it in any way. Of where you jump in, on a hot day, you jump in extremely cold water. And you either go into shock or you just involuntarily, you can't help but do a massive breathe in of water. You go, because it's so cold, the shock of it. Your lungs are now just filled with water. And, you know, if you're not immediately pulled from the water and, like, your lungs pumped out, you're going to die. That has killed, or kills people all the time, but this summer's been particularly bad, hasn't it? Was it 50, 70-odd people? Or 50, no, in the 50s, and, like, 30-odd of them are, like, young people, under 18 or whatever. Yeah, bad. Really, obviously, really bad. What can you do? Just warn people about that. It's a really hot day, and you want to jump in a lake or a river or a reservoir. Be warned that it may, even though it's baking hot, the water may still be freezing cold. Just going slowly rather than just jump in. Just make people aware of that. It's just a thing you teach a child. Teach them how to read or write, how to do rudimentary maths, how to ride a bicycle, how to not drop a toaster that's plugged in into the bath when you're on, when you're in it. To look both ways whilst crossing the road. Just something you teach kids. Don't jump into a body of cold water if you're not ready for it, if you're not prepared. What else can you do? What else could you do? Yeah, raise awareness on that. Yeah, good. Okay, good. Is that front page news out of everything that's happening in the world, in this country? I wouldn't say so. The Star, proper slot from The Star. Man City fans are top of the league for bad behaviour. The Prem suspects. It's an absurd story that the most arrests the police have had to make for football violence and hooliganism were Man City fans. The numbers are actually tiny, really, compared to like the bad old days of trouble on the terraces in the 70s and 80s. Numbers are tiny, really. Like 102 arrests. Out of tens of thousands, over a season, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of potential arrests, 102. Still, Man City topped the charts for that. City. Noel Gallagher will be ashamed. Well, he doesn't care. All right. And the increasingly infuriating and absurd front pages. That's Fleet Street for today. All right. Should we check in with the price of crude? Down a bit. Down a bit. Brent crude, just shy of $93 a barrel, ticking up though, isn't it? But down a bit on like the last day. West Texas, $85 a barrel. Remarkable. Remarkable, it's not $150 a barrel or more, isn't it? Still, doesn't translate into what we pay at the pump. All right, shall we have a look at our poll? Thomas, will you look at our poll this time of the day? If you'd bring that up for me. I think you have to click on it. Well, you do have to click on it for me so I can see, if you wouldn't mind. Just waiting for Thomas to do that. Well, technical problems. We're just waiting for him to do that. From memory, we asked you guys... I actually don't remember. What was it, Thomas? Can you just read it? Can you see it on your screen? Read it out what it was.
I can't find it. We are having technical difficulties.
Oh, technical difficulties.
I think it was about 90% no. The chat can probably confirm that.
Okay, what was it, though? Was it something about Ukraine? Oh, yeah, I think we asked you guys, are you in favour of the... Oh, that was it. Do you agree with, like, the degree to which Britain helped Ukraine. It was wording to that effect. And the no's have it. Was that right? 87, did you say 87%?
That's what the chat's saying. Yeah.
Okay. 87% of you say no. You're not comfortable with the degree to which Britain helps Ukraine. Yeah. Why would we be? It's really not our war. Russia getting more and more belligerent about it. How is it in Britain's interest? Put it like that. How really is it in our interest? It's quite a tortured argument to make that it's in our interest. It's not, is it really? All right, 87%. All right, let's move on. Should we have a look at what other stories of interest there are before we get on this day in history? It's already 1:45. Okay, yeah, Bumham's in Ukraine. It's going to stand shoulder to shoulder. What happened to, like, wearing suits? What happened to that? They think they're in a boy band now. They're wearing the garb of a 1990s boy band, aren't they? Put a shirt collar on and a tie, damn you. That's just me. My old-fashioned. All right. What else we got? Oh, it's the main stories. They are the main stories. Look, check it. Look, they love each other. It's a bromance. They're going to take on the Kremlin and win. For as long as it takes. Don't worry about that a generation of Ukrainian and Russian men are being slaughtered. Don't worry about that. That's not important. There you go. Look, he's just got off the train from Poland. It's a Ukrainian foreign sec, I believe. Yeah, brilliant. Well done. Well done. Something about Meghan, don't care. That crash, the joyriders, okay, don't care. All right, let's do On This Day in History. I quite like that bit. You guys seem to like doing that bit. Down through the centuries, nay, the millennia, on this day in history, August the 24th, what happened of note? Let's have a look-see. What we got? Vesuvius. Ah, lovely. 79 AD. The year 79 AD. What's that, the reign of Nero, is it? That would be in the reign of Nero. Believed until 2018 to be the date of the massive eruption of Mount Vesuvius, which buried the cities of Pompeii, Herculaneum, Oplontis and Stabiae, killing untold thousands. Latest evidence suggests the eruption occurred on the 17th of October. They've got a painting there, a famous painting. The 17-year-old witness to the eruption of Vesuvius, which was Pliny the Younger. If you know your ancient history, remember that is my thing. You know, talking about politics and current affairs is really just a side gig. I've got a master's in political philosophy, but originally, first and foremost, my main wheelhouse is not just history, but ancient history. There's Pliny the Elder and Pliny the Younger. Pliny the Younger was actually, I believe a week or two ago I mentioned this, talked about this somehow in passing, and I said Pliny the Elder. No, that's wrong, it's Pliny the Younger. He was actually in the Bay of Naples at the time and saw it with his own two eyeballs for real, and then wrote an account of it. I thought it was pretty clear from Pliny the Younger's account what the date was, but okay. Mount Vesuvius blew up. When you look at Mount Vesuvius now, it's like it's quite clearly a volcano. I mean, from a distance on the horizon, you can see like the mountain come up and then a big dip, like the crater of the volcano. But before that, before 79 AD, apparently it was just one hill. The whole, and when it blew up, the whole top of the mountain blew off, blew up, blew off. He said blew off. Can't laugh really, terrible tragedy. I've been to Pompeii a couple of times and Herculaneum. In my opinion, Herculaneum's cooler, it's better. It's a much, much smaller site. Herculano, right on the foothills of Vesuvius. Pompeii's amazing though. They're both amazing actually. Thing is, Pompeii's quite often packed, go in summer, whereas Herculaneum's quite often deserted or very few people there. And if you're one of those people that likes to walk around a historic site, and sort of trying to use a bit of imagination, historical imagination, try and picture what things might have been like, what it was really like. A little bit of quiet. You don't want shrieking children. You can hear Germans chattering away. You can hear a loud Aussie. Sort of ruins it a bit. A little bit. You want to be on your own and some quiet. Herculaneum's better for that. My experience both times of going to the Sistine Chapel inside the Vatican in Rome. Completely ruined. They sort of frog march you through. Well, not frog march. You walk through there, sort of you can't just spend as much time as you want in there. It's one in, one out almost. To ferry as many people through the Sistine Chapel as they possibly can. You know, like in a queue, shuffling along, almost shoulder to shoulder with loads of foreign tourists. They're all chattering away, Japanese, Americans, whatever. And and it smells. It'd be hot probably in Italy in summer. It smells of BO. It's all loud, people chattering away. You have to quickly look up at the ceiling. It's too far away. You can't see any of the detail of it. Look at the Last Judgment on the far wall. It's too far away. You can't really see the detail. And then you're out. And then you're escorted out again. That's the Sistine Chapel. It's not ideal. There's a bit in Goodwill Hunting, isn't there? Where it says, you're just a kid. You don't know what it's like to go into the Sistine Chapel and see there. Look up at that wonderful thing. See that. You don't know what it's like. Yes, crap. It's a crap experience. You don't get to just stand there on your own, more or less on your own in silence and wonder at it for a while. You don't get to do that. Not these days. Anyway, well, I've got off this topic a bit there. Pompeii and Herculaneum. If you're interested at, and Stabby, if you're interested at all in that sort of thing, it is wonderful. It really is amazing. Pompeii. I say that about Pompeii. It's such a massive site that usually you can find a corner of it where there aren't too many people. Have a sit down, have a bit of a quiet moment, usually. It is like an ancient Roman city frozen in time. It really, the closest thing you will ever get to walking around an ancient Roman city is Pompeii and Herculaneum. I mean, you are. It is literally that. A moment frozen in time, the first century AD. Incredible. Incredible. All right, what else have we got here? On this day in 410, again, AD, Rome is overrun by Visigoths under Alaric I for the first time in nearly 800 years since, what, Brennus? Seen as the fall of the Western Roman Empire. Different historians date the fall of the Western Roman Empire at different points. Some say it's not till the 470s, but... if you go to Thomas, if you go... Yeah, there you go. On my own history-themed show, Bode's Epochs, that's behind the paywall on lotuseaters.com, maybe consider signing up for as little as £5 a month bronze tier membership, where there's hundreds of hours, quite literally without exaggeration, hundreds of hours of long-form history-themed content with yours truly. Do you think I talk all about the Visigothic invasion of Rome in the early 5th century and the life and career and adventures of Alaric? Do you think that's on there? You can bet your sweet ass it's on there. £5 a month, and it's yours. Could talk about it, have talked about it for hours. Could talk about it for hours and hours. I suppose if I've only got a few minutes or a minute or two, one of the biggest things that historians, scholars argue about is to what degree Alaric's Goths sacked Rome. Did they like properly destroy it? Burn down massive and destroy massive, massive chunks of it? Butcher nearly all the men and enslave nearly all the women? Sort of Thebes, Alexander style, or was it a really light touch sacking? They didn't kill or enslave all that many people and didn't destroy many buildings at all and only took a chunk of money of tribute and didn't like loot the entire city of everything of value. That's one of the things the historians argue about on that, but there's so much to be said. I point you merely to my epochs or any number of books and or documentaries about that. Turning point in history, isn't it, of course? Certainly Western European history. All right, on this day in 1516, the Battle of Majdanek, I don't know much about this or anything really, Ottoman forces decisively defeat the Mamluk Sultanate near Aleppo, ending Egyptian control in the Middle East. Don't know much about that, I've got to say. So, the Ottomans on the rise and the Mamluks on the wane. in Aleppo, what is modern day Syria, isn't it, Aleppo? Give you some perspective. So yeah, the Ottoman Turk expanding. Of course, the Ottoman went on to take all of the Near East, all of Arabia, all of, well, not all, but a lot of North Africa, loads of it. Okay. There's only a couple of generations, three generations, four generations after the Ottoman Turk take Constantinople, isn't it? I mean, so they're still in the ascendancy at that point. Okay, on this day in 1572, the St. Bartholomew's Day is... The St. Bartholomew's Day massacre of Protestants by Roman Catholics begins in Paris with the murder by defenestration of Admiral Gaspard de Coligny and later spreads to the French provinces. On Epochs, I've got long-form content all about the Medici family. There's more than one episode. I talk all about the Medici family from the very beginnings. They were just one of the banking families in Florence, all the way through to having more than one of their number as Pope, become Grand Dukes of Tuscany, and on and on and on. One of them in the late 16th century, mid-16th century, Catherine de Medici becomes the Queen of France. The King of France marries her, he dies, and then she's got a bunch of sons. More than one of her sons becomes King of France. And when the younger ones become King of France, she's sort of the Eminence Gris. She's sort of the grey, she's the power behind the throne. Catherine de Medici. Obviously an Italian woman, basically. As Queen of France is the power in France for like a generation or so. She's often blamed for the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre. That is Catholics killing Protestants. But others say, oh, no, if you look at it closely, she's not to blame. Well, this is the French wars of religion at this point. Catholics and Protestants butchering each other all over the place over more than a generation. It's just one of the more famous. They say that she orchestrated it, but when you look at it in detail, probably not. Probably not. That's the point of historical contention on that one. I mean, she did as much as she could, it seems. It's fair to say, she did as much as she could. She was Catholic, wasn't she? She did as much as she could to try and dial down the wars of religion in France. So it seems sort of unlikely or out of character that this particular incident, she was like twiddling her evil moustaches. How can we butcher as many Protestants as possible today? Yeah. Nah. But others would say, no, definitely did they. All right, anyway, moving on. All right, on this day in 1662, the Act of Uniformity requires English government and church officials to accept the Book of Common Prayer, 1662. So that's after the Civil War. The Solemn League of the Covenant. We'll do away with all of that. And, I mean, it's a long story, that one. Talk about 410 and the fall of Rome and Alaric. That's a long story. Can't get into it here. This one's just a similar thing. I will say that on Epochs, I go through at various times. I do content all about the monarchs of England, don't I? I've gone from Roman Britain all the way through. Do long form content about each one of the kings or queens. And at the moment, I've got up to unfinished Henry VIII. So the next one will be his son Edward VI. Right. At the moment, I'm doing a Constantine the Great series. After that, I'm going to do Pizarro, Francisco Pizarro, and then after that I'll almost certainly return to the monarchs stuff with Edward VI. So it's not long before I get to the Civil War. Well, I've got little Eddie VI, then his big sister, Bloody Mary, then his other big sister, Good Queen Bess. And then we're looking at James, the Scotsman, the smelly Scotsman James. And then his son, Charles I, and then we get to the Civil War stuff. And I'm going to do that in tons and tons of detail. I've been thinking about it and planning it in my mind in various ways for years. When I get up to that, I'm going to sort of stop and I'll do a really long series. Like maybe a 6-month long series, maybe a year, who knows. I'm going to do it in tons of detail, tons and tons of detail. Because I love that period, love it. Actually, at the weekend, I bought a lovely copy of The History of the Rebellion by Thomas Hyde, the Earl of Clarendon. I already own it in just like Penguin paperback. I was in a secondhand bookstore and I found, when I saw it, no, like an antiques book place, and I saw on the shelf A History of the Rebellion by Clarendon, and it was like this beautiful, like early 19th century hand cut copy of it. As I say, I've already got a copy of it in like Penguin paperback, like $11.99 or whatever. But I saw this thing, and the only thing I've ever collected is books. I almost hoard books. I'm one of those people. I've got far too many books. Got many, many, many bookcases. Far too many, really. But I saw this thing. I was like, I did an audible intake of breath. I don't know if anyone out there is like a book nerd like that. But I saw this and I was like, I literally did that audibly. I was like, oh no, I just hope it's not insanely expensive. It was expensive. But it's like, if this is like doable money-wise, if this is doable, I want that. I want to own that. I really want that. And it wasn't cheap. But it wasn't silly, silly money. You know, sometimes you go into an antiquarian book place, you see something you want, and they've written in pencil on the inside how much it is. You ask the guy or the woman, how much is it? And they go like, £600. And you're like, oh, I've got to put it down. Put that back. That's a dream. I'm never going to own it. I'm not paying that. But if it's sort of doable, just about. And anyway, it was. And now I'm the proud owner of this, in my opinion, this beautiful book. I love it. And anyway, when I get up to this point in my epoch series, I'm going to be reading from that, showing off a bit about it. This wonderful thing I've got. I'm going to be reading from it, the original thing. It smells all musty and old. It's great. Again, hand-cut pages, like lovely inlays. Things like that. That's a thing from The Common Prayer. It's not from Thomas Hyde's History of the... But stuff like that in it. All right, I'll stop going on. I'll stop bragging about it. Okay. On this day in 1814, British forces capture Washington, D.C. during the War of 1812 and destroy many landmarks, including the White House. On Bode's Epochs, and it's also, if you don't want to go behind the paywall, on my, Thomas, can you go to the other camera? Yeah, on my own channel, History Bro, this isn't real, by the way, this is fake, I haven't really got 100,000 subs on History Bro. On there, there's the whole long form, I had a conversation with Benjamin Boyce, good old Boycey, of conversations fame, all about the War of 1812, but most of the events of the War of 1812 happened in the year 1814. The war started in 1812, and they call it the War of 1812, but all the real stuff that of note, really, most of it, happened in the year 1814, including a raid on Washington, D.C. It was really just a raid. We didn't, like, invest D.C. and try and hold it, and it was only eventually wrestled back off of us by a relieving U.S. Army. No, we just realised that D.C. was essentially undefended. Not entirely, but almost undefended. It was like, oh, we've got a small army here. What if we just dip inland and burn D.C. down? We can do that. And they did. It's one of those things. Well, no. Who won the War of 1812? We talk all about it in that conversation with Benjamin Boyce, but no one. Both sides sort of... The Americans tried to invade Canada, failed. We tried to invade the United States and failed. Both sides... It's a bit embarrassing for both sides when you look at the real detail of the War of 1812. Both sides, it's sort of a bit embarrassing. It's one of those things like maybe... When you were younger, you had like an actual fist fight with your own brother or one of your loved cousins. Now you're older, it's like you wish that had never really happened. And it's like you can sort of look back on it with a bit of embarrassment, even have a laugh about it at Christmas. Remember that time 30 years ago when we actually had a fist fight? It's like something like that. That's how I feel about it anyway. On this day in 1968, France becomes the world's fifth thermonuclear power with a detonation at Muramuraya Atoll. I might probably pronounce that incorrectly, in the South Pacific. Yeah, the French. They actually got the full thermonuclear deal completely independently on their own. They were one of the last to stop doing tests, weren't they? I mean, even when I was a kid, even when I was young, like in the 1990s, the French were still testing nukes. And the rest of the world was like, come on. We all stopped doing that quite a while ago now. You don't need... What tests do you really need to do? We've got all the data. Do you want data? We can give you the data. Stop testing massive nukes, please, France. Anyway, this is the beginning of that. 1968. All right. That's it. Should we have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats? Let me do this with my mic boom so I can see the left-hand side of my screen. Do you think global church history is going to be in at number one on the Rumble Rants? Is it going to be a good day? He was pipped the other day. Was it Friday even? He was pipped. Someone else got in first and just put first. Let's have a look. Let's have a look. All right. Rumble Rants. Yes, global church history is in at number one. That's his real name, by the way. That's what he's christened. That's what's on the register. His Christian name is Global. His parents decided to call him Global. His middle name's Church and the family surname is History. That's his real name, Global Church History. Mr. History says... It's not, of course, I'm joking. He says, today in 1456, Gutenberg printed his Bible. Oh, right, the Gutenberg printing press. Classic thing. I've talked all about that on Epochs and various times. There's not one whole long-form bit of content just on it, but at various points, we talk about Luther or the Age of the Reformation or various things. It's before, really, Luther's Reformation, but how significant that was, the printing press. That really changed the world, certainly Europe. The dissemination of information, whether misinformation, disinformation, heretical information, subversive information, extremely important, valuable information. Suddenly, within reason, anyone could print anything they want. You don't need the state, whatever that means. You don't need the church, necessarily, to sign off on it and start printing things, handing them out to people, disseminate it through society. Can you imagine a world before that was the case? How strict the movement of information was, could be, and suddenly this explosion of it. Changed the world. The Gutenberg printing press. Okay. And global church history's second factoid of the day, you say, it's also the feast of the British martyrs under the Vikings. Right, okay, yeah. I mean, that's a very broad thing, isn't it? All the people, Christians, that were killed by Scandinavian raiders that had gone a Viking across the North Sea to the British Isles and raped and pillaged. A feast day to remember those who lost their lives. Okay, next up, Fortean Barber says, morning, mate, all right? Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. How are you? Hope you're all good. Really do. You said, I watched an interview last night with retired Admiral Tim Galluday of the US Navy Oceanography. He is part of a team who think they've found Atlantis, as described by Plato. Huh. Okay. I'll check that out. I wonder, again, because I could just start talking for an hour easily now about Atlantis and Plato, where people think it is. I wonder where he thinks it is, whether it's Santorini in the Eastern Med, whether it's much more near in Gibraltar, whether it's out in the Atlantic. That's what Plato said, didn't he? It's in the Atlantic. Like it's out near what? Of Cape Verde or whatever, I don't know, anyway. There's a number of different places where people have suggested it might be, or what it might be, what Plato's actually talking about there. Some say it's just nonsense, Plato's just making stuff up, or Plato had heard a story, faithfully recorded it, but it was all based on nonsense. Or not. Or people say, no, Plato didn't just deal in nonsense very often. If he was told that, there will be a kernel of truth to it, one way or another. But, okay, I'll be interested to see where retired Admiral Tim Galluday says Atlantis is. I'll check that out. That is of interest to me. Thanks for bringing it to my attention. Okay, Pigdog 5150 says, just stop oil! Exclamation mark. EVs are the future. And then you say, and that's in inverted commas, people saying that, yelling that. Then you've put, maize harvesting day today. So he's a farmer, isn't he? Pigdog says he's used to work in finance, in banking in some way, but now he's a farmer. Don't blame him. Don't blame him. Says, maize, corn harvesting today. You put, 7 tractors lugging 8 to 10 ton loads of chopped up maize, doing a 10 to 15 mile loop. No chance without diesel. Oil keeps us alive. Okay, fair enough. I didn't realise your operation, your farming operation, was that big. 7 tractors lugging tons and tons and tons of corn around. Wow. Wow. A proper farmer. Proper. Real deal. I was picturing like a farmstead, a homestead sort of thing with a couple of fields. Maybe like half a dozen fields at most. Sounds like you've got loads and loads of land. 7 tractors. Bloody hell. Well, good luck to you, sir. Genuinely. Good luck to you. I hope it all works out. I hope the sort of the scales of economy work out for you. Yeah, best of luck. Okay, big day, I guess, then. Harvesting day, right? Seems early in the year for me, but I don't know anything about it. So I guess corn is one of the earlier ones. Traditionally, harvesting is much more sort of in later summer. Well, I suppose it is about now, actually. I suppose it is late August, isn't it? I suppose so, yeah, no, fair enough. Plus, I don't know what I'm talking about as well. I guess if you know what you're doing, late August is the corn harvesting time. Fair enough. Once again, best of luck to you, sir. For T and Barber says, also, I got you a seat reserved for the Independence Rally in Cornwall. No need to thank me. Hopefully you'll be considered for Secretary of State. Ha ha ha. Only joking, of course. Yeah. Because me and Nate on State of Politics, last night did our Sunday, T-Sup Sunday night time, live stream time. We did our DNA things. We did a lads hour on Lotus Eaters, didn't we, going through our DNA results. Nate wanted in on that. And me and Nate went through our DNA results. It's interesting. I find all that stuff very, very interesting. And of my Englishness, 89%, well, according to living DNA. Of that, the biggest chunk is Cornwall for me. So I'm a Cornishman, first and foremost. If I'm one thing, if you had to say you're one thing, first and foremost, for me, it's Cornish. Who knew? I was born and raised in the southeast. But yeah, so they're independence. They want independence. I would rather England stay as one nation, indivisible. The Cornish separatist people won't like me saying that. I'm supposed to be their boy. But nonetheless, if they do get independence and they want me as a Secretary of State, I'll do it. Fine. All right, you've won independence. You've won Cornwall's won sovereignty for itself. And and they need like a badass Home Secretary dude. I'll do it. Will it mean if Westminster catch me though, I get the traitor's gate and my head separated from my body on Tower Hill? If we get caught though. No, I want England to stay together. I'm not a fan of devolution at all, so. I hope the Cornishmen aren't too angry with me for saying such a thing. All right, there it is. That's how I feel. Dragon Lady Chris says, raises hands in asterisk. So she's raising her hands. Book nerd as well as history nerd I am. I totally get it, Bo. I'm kind of jealous of that find. Smiley face. Oh, cool, yeah. The only things I own that I'm sort of proud of are a few books. I've got like a dozen, maybe a couple of dozen at most, of like really relatively expensive but exquisite examples of some antique books. They're the only things I think I really own that I would be gutted if like my flat burnt down and everything I owned was lost. Most of it, don't care, really. I'll just buy new ones of whatever it was. But some of those books I'd be gutted, be genuinely upset. Yeah, when I saw it on the shelf, Dragon Lady Chris, when I saw it on the shelf, I was looking through, yeah, that's too data, I'm not interested in that, that's some obscure thing, I'm not interested in, don't care. A History of the Rebellion. Is it Edward Hyde taking it off the book, taking it off the shelf slowly? Is it the, yeah, it is. It is. Oh, wow. And you're holding it like cradling the head, like it's a baby, a delicate little, oh. All right. Please don't be 800 quid. Please don't be 800 quid. All right. That's the last Rumble rant. Let's have a look at the YouTube Super Chats. Here we go. Oh, there's quite a few, 20 or so. Let's get through them. So the first one is Ned the Janitor for $20. Appreciate that. $20. Thank you, sir. Ned the Janitor says, as an American, Bo informs me that my guilt of not being Western enough is really my lack of submission to the crown as long as it is actively engaged in the current crusade. Okay. Not being Western enough. Okay. There's obviously mucking about. Yeah, I mean, what can I say? That's quite funny. The current crusade. Well, thanks, Ned the Janitor. I appreciate that. I'm going to have to... It's already 10:15. I need to whip through a little bit. I can't stay here till sort of 10 to 10 this morning or anything, I'm afraid. Oh, I say that all the time, don't I? Nearly every morning. I whip through these. Then I can't help myself doing some little comment or other. Okay, so GW7157. The next two are you, so I'll read them in one go. You put... you've given $5 and then you've said, here is $5 better spent. Thank you, appreciate it. And then next one is also you for another $5. And then you put $5 for you not to sing again, please, Lamau.
Oh.
A knife in the heart there. No, I'm joking. I do it a bit too much probably, don't I? I can't help myself. If you know me in real life. Because this isn't a character, right? I'm not doing a character here. This is just me. And so, in real life, I do that. Someone says something, and they don't even realise they've done it, and it's a line of a song. I almost can't help myself but just quickly sing that one line of a song. So, I sort of can't help myself. I hope you're basically joking as well, aren't you? You've put a lamau after. So... I'm going to still do it from time to time. I sort of can't help myself. It's one of the things. Like if someone says, hey Jude or something, I can't help myself. Hey Jude. So there you go. You've got to take it or leave it, I'm afraid. Don't try and change me, baby. Okay. Callum29D says, Chris Packham. Oh God, what are you going to say about Chris Packham? I hate Chris Packham. For anyone who doesn't know, he used to be on the Really Wild show. You'd have to be in your 40s to even know that. He was on some little kid's show about animals in, like, the 80s. And even now he, like, does, like, nature shows about birds, about twitching, bloody ornithology or whatever. And he's insanely woke. Chris Packham. Ugh, every single opinion, every single take that could be subversive and woke and socialist, he's got. Chris Packham. Right, what have we got? Callum says, Chris Packham did an autist climate meltdown. Of course he did. Did an autist climate meltdown on BBC Birdwatch. Therefore, you are banned from driving. Yeah, right, classic. That sounds, that's typical Chris Packham, that is. Oh, yeah. Mental. If I passed some sort of sedition law in Bowes, Britain, there was some sort of committee of public safety that looked into sedition, I believe Mr. Packham would be asked to attend. Okay. Majestic Star Duelist. That's quite a cool name. Don't seem to recall you giving being in Super Chats much before, so appreciate it. Majestic Star Duelist for 10 quid. Appreciate it. You've said this. Good morning, Bo. Morning. You beautiful man. Brackets, no homo. I know, people have said that before. You say, have you changed your name? Are you someone? Did you change your name? Anyway, thanks for that. I appreciate that. Beautiful. I do need a haircut. when you're bald and you go for the cue ball look, you have to keep it super short. I need a haircut. I'm going to get a haircut later today. Hopefully tomorrow morning I'll turn up with a shorn scalp. You beautiful man, no homo. I turned 31 yesterday. So here's a history question. Who do you think invented calculus? Leibniz created notation, but possibly copied from Newton. Well, as I understand it, and I'm a bit of a fan of the history of science, as I understand it, and I could well be wrong, but isn't that just completely attributed to Newton? Isn't that one of Newton's achievements? Is that he invented calculus? So that's the answer, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's exactly the sort of thing where I'm happy, genuinely happy to be corrected. If someone in the comments or whatever says, actually, it was someone really obscure from a few years earlier, or actually, people believe it was indeed Leibniz or whatever. I believe it's Newton. I think it was. There you go. Not a bad achievement, is it? Those are stuff on optics. It wasn't just gravity, right? The Principia Mathematica. Also, just throw on top of that, calculus. Oh, yeah, I just invented calculus. No biggie. Okay, Mr. Dicky Bingo, how are you, sir? I'm glad you've still got your eyesight. You've put Ukraine question mark. Don't look into Victoria Nuland. Yeah, good point, Mr. Dicky Bingo. Anyone know Victoria Nuland? Vicky Nuland? Yeah, again, well, people in their own time can look her up. Look into her, the things she did and said when she was at the top table of government in the US. The sorts of things she advocated for. A sort of world view. Her foreign policy objectives. Evil. Evil Victoria Nuland. There you go. Thundercook to 2028 says, oil-rich Russia has a fuel crisis. Laughing face. More to come. Yeah. Russia, the Russian Federation, is very, very, very resource-rich. Of course it is. Country that stretches from Eastern Europe to Siberia. Yeah. Untold, untapped, almost unknowable amounts of resources, Russia. Yeah, they've got a fuel crisis. Have they? Doubt it. You sure about that? Okay. James Lee Pevenhole 5087 says, ancient history, huh? Who built a Puma Punker? Puma Punker. I don't know. Is that one of the Aztec ones, isn't it? Isn't that high up in the Andes? Or is it an Inca thing? Oh, I can't even remember now off the top of my head. Isn't that one of the ones that, like, Graham Hancock talks about? Thomas, can you quickly Google what he said there? Puma Punker. It's one of the Mesoamerican or South American ones. Can't remember if it's Aztec or Inca. Is it an Inca thing in the Andes? I believe no one knows, right? People say it was just an earlier iteration of like Inca thing. I'm just reading it now. Where is it? In Bolivia. Right, so it would be Inca stuff. Yeah. I think the classic historian's answer is, oh, it was just the Inca. It was just maybe a slightly earlier version of the Inca civilization, but it was just them and then other people, like Graham Hancock or whatever, say, no, the stoneworking here is megalithic and beyond the ability, clearly beyond the ability of the Inca that the Spanish and Portuguese and Spanish people met in, like, what, the 16th century? People like Pizarro. This is a whole different civilization that must have done this stonework. Yeah, we don't know. See, James Lee Pevenhole's calling out my historical knowledge, but that is the answer, isn't it? We don't know. It's a culture that's largely lost to us, isn't it? Like a lot of things. They didn't leave a great amount of, or any real writing, certainly not a great amount of it, describing who they were and what they thought and why. Then it's lost. That's literally what scholars say. It's lost. It's lost to us. Yeah, a lot of that stonework seems, or is, absolutely remarkable, isn't it? And it seems like the Inca of the 16th century could not work stone to that degree remotely, doesn't it? Yeah. Perhaps when I do my series on Pizarro, I'll talk all about that, at least in passing. Well, not perhaps, I will. It'll probably be a bit in passing, but I'll talk about that. Sure. Fascinating stuff. I'd love to have a conversation with Graham Hancock. Would love it. Probably wouldn't talk to me as I'm like a far-right fantasist neo-Nazi, aren't I? But it would be fascinating. I don't agree with everything Graham Hancock says. I agree with a fair bit. I do agree with loads of what Graham Hancock says, but not everything. I don't agree with his ultimate thesis. But there's no doubt that it's a fascinating question. Things like that, isn't it? There's many examples all around the world. There's question marks over what exactly we're really looking at. Okay, cool question. Cool history nerds question. Love it. Arc 5 says, only get to see you live when I can't sleep. Cheers. Well, I hope you can get to sleep. I think we can get to sleep at some point. But I appreciate you tuning in live. What more could I ask for? Thank you very much. Okay, in the Field Marshal Dawn Browning, Hoyt just gives $10 and a big sort of dancing emoji dude with maracas. Thanks, Dawn. Cheers, love. Appreciate it as always. Really do appreciate it. Genuinely do. And shout out to Chris Dangerfield, who coined calling Dawn Browning Field Marshal Dawn Browning and doing a salute and going, Hoyt, Chris, got to get you back on. We talked about it. We've got to do it now. You've got to come back on. Either this on the Bow Show, or we'll make some other content talking about art or literature, whatever you want, buddy. All right. James Lee Pevenhole 5087 says, Edward VI gave out ex monasteries to his mates. All right, yeah, well, Edward VI was an arch Protestant, wasn't he? Arch. And it's the age just after the dissolution of the modern monasteries that his dad, Henry VIII, did. And yeah, he continued down that route of breaking with Rome in the second half of the 16th century. There you go. And then we flipped back with Bloody Mary, Mary the First, didn't we? She was a Catho. Flipped back with her and her Spanish husband. And then we get Elizabeth the First, Queen Bess, flips back again. Flips back. She's a Protestant, of course, isn't she? Well, she said that, you know, it's not the job of the state or the crown to see what's in men's hearts. In other words, to some degree, you can be a Catholic, you just keep it to yourself. And go around preaching on street corners, to some degree. Anyway, all right. Again, could talk about that for an hour quite easily. Let's carry on. Belgians are evil, trust me. That's their name. At Belgians are evil, trust me. Says, to unite divided right, find common ground, start small, like agreeing male flatulence can be very funny and highbrow, but girl flatulence always 100% foul. We can all agree on that, can't we? We can all agree on that. I think farts are funny regardless of the sex of the perpetrator. My sense of humour is very puerile. I think primary school playground humour is quite often funny. Hence continuing to call Andy Burnham Andy Bumham. That is funny to me. Okay, Young Elm. How are you, Young Elm? Big fan of the state of politics as well, aren't you, Young Elm? Go to the Disdain cam real quick. The other one. I was just out of shot today. State of politics. Young Elm says, hey, Bo, on my way to Prague. Good morning. Sorry I'm late. How's it going on the last of the Bohicans? He's on his way to Prague. I've never been to Prague. I would love to visit Prague. I've never been to Berlin either. I'd love to visit Berlin and Prague. Yeah. Because on my DNA, just explain that a little bit, on living DNA, I was like 100% European, 89% British Isles. Now, out of that 11%, which isn't British Isles, there's like a little bit that's Scandinavia, a little bit that was Germany, Northern Germany, effectively. And 1.8% that's Basque, from the Basque region of Northern Spain. That's the furthest afield bit by a long way. And when we talk about it on State of Politics, State of Politics, last night, the chat was, they jumped straight from just calling me Spanish. You're a Spaniard. They jumped straight to that, to I'm Mexican. Bodade, Mexican. Who knew? Oh, and also on my, the other one, Ancestry.com. That one showed I've got a bit of DNA from Quebec, modern day Quebec. It would have been the Iroquois people, Iroquois Nation of Native American Indians. It's interesting, isn't it, to note how much of that it's not an exact science, this DNA stuff, because living DNA didn't show I had any of that, none. And then Ancestry said I did, and Ancestry said I didn't have any Basque region stuff. They can't both be right, can they? Have I got any DNA of the Basque region or Quebec? They completely disagree with each other on that. It's because it's small trace amounts. Because they both agreed that I'm 90% English, and of that, the biggest chunk of that is Cornwall. They agree on that, so that the main thing. Then on the periphery is what's around the edge, the noise in the DNA. What is there, what isn't there? Anyway, last of the Bohicans. I've talked about it a number of times. I mean, it's interesting. It's funny to me. There's been quite a few AI images or photoshopped images of me with some sort of Native American headdress on. The Bohawk. Last of the Bohicans. Bocahontas. So. Okay. Last three here. MQSSS says, making some Basque cheesecake in honour of Beau today. I've got to decide whether I want to throw my energies into Basque separatism or Cornish separatism. I've really got to make that decision. Or stand for the Iroquois nation and demand reparations from the Elysee Palace in France for their evil colonialism against my people. I've got to think very seriously about that. Basque cheesecake. Nice. Okay. Acid Helm, AC1D Helm, Acid Helm, says, morning, Bo. Evidently, 6 a.m. is too early for rumble rants. Oh, yeah, Global Church History said before, if you're too early on a rumble rant, it doesn't register it, or I don't see it, it doesn't come up on my screen one way or another. So that is a thing. So you can get up too early to beat Global Church History. You can be too early. Yeah, he said, 6 a.m. is evidently too early for rumble rants. What would you say your favourite epochs was? Of the guys at Lotus Eaters, what would you say each of their expertise are, i.e. you, history, Dan, economics, etc.? Luca is literature, isn't he? He's chronicles, he's got his thing behind the paywall, chronicles, all about literature. Dan's economics, isn't he? I'm history, who has Stelios is philosophy, of course. He's actually got a PhD in philosophy, Stelios. He's a real-life Athenian philosopher. Big Harry, comics and music. Pop culture, I'd say. Let's say that, pop culture. Carl's a jack-of-all-trades, although he's got a master's degree now in politics and philosophy, or philosophy, isn't he? So that, not many people have got a master's degree in that. That's it, isn't it? Who else am I missing? Anyone? Anyone of the big, like, main presenters? That's the main ones, isn't it? Apologies if I'm missing anyone. And what's my favourite epochs? Ooh, I don't know. It's a good question. It's like, what's your favourite book or what's your favourite movie? Depends what mood you catch me in. I don't know. Off the top of my head, that's often telling, isn't it? The first thing that pops into your mind. I've done one on Savonarola, the Mad Monk of Florence, Savonarola. I think that's a good one. I think that's a really good one. I'm also reasonably proud of my series on Julius Caesar, which was very long, 20 parts. Quite proud of my series on Henry V, that was quite long. Again, the Magellan one. Little Harry's favourite one is the Magellan series. That's a cool story. If I had to pick a one-off one, maybe Savonarola, the Mad Monk. There you go. Okay, and the last one here today, again from Belgians Are Evil, Trust Me. That's their name. That's what they've decided to call themselves, at Belgians Are Evil, Trust Me. You've said, don't just own books, you own my heart. Brackets, no homo. Oh, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. I really do appreciate it. You know, my people, the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters, for he who fights with me today shall be my brother. Be he ne'er so vile, today shall gentle his condition, and men of England now abed shall think themselves accursed that they were not here, and hold their manhoods cheap, while any speaks who fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day. All right, that's the show. That's the show. It's now 34 minutes past 9 in the AM British Summer Time on Monday, the 24th of August in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. Without you guys, it really isn't a thing. I couldn't ask for more. Thank you very much. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. You know, carpe diem, seize the day. Try and make it count. The most valuable thing you will ever have is your time. Orders of magnitude more valuable than gold and silver and gems and houses and cars and anything you might own. Anything. You can't take that with you, can you? It's fleeting. It's fleeting. You can't take it with you. The most valuable thing you have, which is finite, is your time on this earth. All right, I'm not going to get too preachy about it. You do you. But just remember, it's valuable. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. All right, then, until tomorrow morning. Take care.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.